Okay, if you have a Bible, then we're in Hebrews chapter 13. So open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, some are coming down the aisles. Just raise your hand and we'll get you a Bible. If you have a Bible or a phone or app or whatever, just open it up. Hebrews chapter 13. And we've been here for a while. I thought for a bit that we might finish before Christmas. It doesn't look like that's going to be possible because a couple of really good ideas have kind of come up in a few of the texts that have kind of stretched things out a little bit here for us. But probably just shortly after Christmas in the new year, I think we'll be finishing up Hebrews. But we've been working through what really has been an absolutely amazing letter. I've loved this whole journey through Hebrews personally. I've enjoyed the work. And just digging into this letter and digging into this book, I've enjoyed just all of us sharing together in that journey as we have gazed upon. We often talk about gazing upon the face of Christ. Well, how do you do that? Think about that. I mean, realistically, we do not gaze physically upon the face of the human Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. We do not gaze physically upon His face. Where do we turn our eyes upon Jesus? Where does that happen? Where is the only place where that can happen for us? The place that God intends for that to happen for us is in His Word. And in His Word, He gives us all that we need to see. And the deeper you go, the better it gets. Doesn't it? The deeper you go, the better it gets as we just gaze upon Christ. And that really has been, I think, a lot of where we've been here. There are a lot of different ideas about the letter to the Hebrews. There are a lot of different approaches to this letter that's been written. But without doubt, it just unfolds for us some of the greatest perspectives and pictures of Christ that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. And we've been following more recently the flow of thought from what the author has just been saying at the end of chapter 12 about the whole concept of a life that is lived in gratitude and in worship of God. That's really where he's kind of come from now through the revelation of the greatness of Christ into this challenge to believe and take God at his word and be men and women of faith. Believing in God, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1, and right on through that chapter and then into chapter 12 as he kind of begins to bring to a close all of what he's been saying about Christ and the response that we have to that and the life of worship, and then opens up finally into this last chapter with all of these incredibly practical applications to this life of gratitude and worship. In light of what we saw a few weeks ago where he says, therefore an unshakable kingdom that we're receiving. This is how we need to live in light of that truth that God is telling us we possess because of our faith in Christ. We don't possess it because we've been good boys and girls. Although I appreciate Ewan's talk this morning to the boys and girls and we hope that they, you know, learn to be good boys and girls. That is not why we possess life. We possess life spiritually because of what Jesus has done on our behalf and placing our faith in Him. God gives us life. It's a gift. It's a gracious provision for us that He gives to us. And that's kind of where we've been here, all stemming from what the author has said about the greatness of Jesus and God's call for us to believe. Into this stream now of exhortations in chapter 13 that help us understand a bit better, I think, what it means to run this life or this life race of faith. I've been just saying, you know, what does that track look like that we run on? And here's one of the passages of many really in the Bible that God gives us new covenant guidance on as to how we should live our lives and run the race of faith. Last week, the first thing that he said here in chapter 13 was that we should let brotherly love continue. And we looked at that last week and a little bit about what that meant. It's part of what our track looks like. We need to just continue to let brotherly love for one another flow from our lives and touch the lives of other people. And then this morning moves on to verse 2. And that's as far as we're going to get, just verse 2 this morning. All right, but he moves on to verse 2 to this second exhortation. Listen to this. Here's what he says. He says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And I've always loved that verse. I think it's a verse that's probably fairly well known by a lot of people who read their Bibles. They know about, you know, showing hospitality to angels unawares. They're not aware of it, but by showing hospitality, by having a life that is characterized by hospitality, some people, the writer says, actually have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. I guess it's just kind of this exciting mystery of it all that kind of makes this a really interesting verse, isn't it? It's a bit of mystery there because they don't know that they're showing hospitality to angels, but it actually has happened. Whether it continues to happen or not, I guess God only knows because we do it unawares. But it's just, there's a bit of exciting mystery to all this that we're going to have a look at here this morning. The first part of the verse, okay, is really just kind of ordinary, isn't it? Look at it. It's just kind of ordinary. There's nothing really earth-shattering in the first part of the verse where he says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Not, you know, we're going to get into that and you'll see that there's quite a bit there, but not a whole lot, I would say, that's maybe earth-shattering to us in that part of the verse. But then the second bit, where he talks about people, some people actually showing hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, whoa, that's something, isn't it? That you actually reach out to show hospitality to somebody and you may be showing hospitality to an angel. Okay, when's the last time you took me for coffee? Right? Whoa, you never know. You never know. You just thought he was a pastor. All right, let's take a look at the two parts of the verse here, okay, one at a time. The first part, I think, simply says this, okay? I'm sure that you can go on and on and on and on, but the first part, I think, simply says this. Don't forget hospitality. It's really amazing that, you know, he comes off the end of chapter 12 in this kind of crescendo of a life of worship and reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire and therefore a kingdom unshakable. Whoa, hospitality. You know, you think, hospitality? And yet here it is, right next to brotherly love. Don't forget hospitality. And to get this in the proper context, I think it is important to get it in the proper context. You have to remember that when this was written, it was a totally different world, wasn't it? I mean, our world is changing fast. Is it not? I mean, our world is really, really changing fast. Whether we're right in those last bits of the last time, I don't know. But boy, I just know that it's changing fast. But when this was written, it was just a totally different world. These guys back here knew nothing of the massive array of modern conveniences that you and I enjoy today. Isn't that right? You stop and think about the conveniences. I was preparing for this week, obviously, and thinking through all this. And I just, you know, was taking a shower last night and just flicked on the hot water. And it came out. Boom, press the button, hot water. That's, you know, and I just thought, whoa, wait a minute. I get all upset if the hot water doesn't come out when I press the button. All of the massive conveniences that you and I have today. These people had nothing. There was nothing like what we have in the world today when this letter was written to the Hebrews some 2,000 years ago. They had nothing like that. How crazy it is. Right? If we were going to be crazy this morning, how crazy it is to imagine the Apostle Paul with a decaf mocha in a takeaway cup with one of those skull-proof sleeves in a convenience tray. And we just go get it. Can I have four, please? And they give you one of those little cardboard things. Whoop, and you can carry four. It's crazy to even think of the Apostle Paul in that kind of a situation, heading up to the Areopagus to chat with the Stoics and the Epicureans. And that's why he needed the convenience tray so he could bring them a latte. And we just do this kind of thing and the world has really changed. But those kind of conveniences were nowhere present in the lives of these people here. We got quite a scam today, folks, don't we? We're pretty spoiled. But these guys had nothing. Literally, these guys, they're scattered around the world for their faith. That's what he's writing into. They're scattered around the world for their faith. And they're living, many of these people are living in fear for their lives. They're living in fear for their lives. And they're just hanging so often on the hospitality of others. That's how they live. Because of their situation, because of their need, because of the state of the world in their day, they're just hanging on the hospitality of others. This was something far more essential than we probably think it is today. It's a massive issue for them. And it helps us see it a bit more in context. And yet, please don't think that God is not saying something to us today with this. Because He is. He is. Don't just think, well, it was a different context. Hospitality is more important. It's not important to us today. That's not at all what I'm saying. Of course it's important today. Don't forget this, the writer says. Don't forget this. Literally, don't let this characteristic of your worship lie hidden and concealed in your life. That's what the word means. Literally, don't let this characteristic of your worship just lie hidden somewhere away in your life. And maybe one of the reasons for the reminder here is because hospitality doesn't really seem like much when you weigh it up on the grand scale of all the incredible things that are going on in the world for Christ, does it? It just, you know, hospitality just doesn't seem to figure that big. And maybe that's one of the reasons for the reminder, because it can easily be forgotten. And yet I think God's telling us here, wait a minute, guys, this is important. You may think that, you know, it's just a little thing you do here or there for somebody, but this really is, in the way that God moves and works in His, according to His sovereign purposes, man, this is important. No matter what you might think of it. You know, there's big stuff going on in the world for Christ. You know, there are mountains to climb and battles to fight and oceans to cross and nations to reach. You know, surely somebody else can take care of serving the tea. Right? That's kind of how we think of it. Isn't it interesting how big we can get in our britches sometimes, isn't it? You know, we just get pretty big. Remember Jesus saying, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water. Remember that? Whoever does that, Jesus says, will surely not lose his reward. And I wonder sometimes, you know, in all the bigness of the plans that I have and everything else, whether there really is reward in a lot of that stuff when Jesus says, hey, give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in my name and you'll not lose your reward. You ever see the spiritual qualifications required for the guys who waited on tables in Acts 6? Have you ever seen that? Into Acts 6 and the churches coming together. And did you ever see the spiritual qualifications that God says was necessary for those guys to serve tables? It's unbelievable, really. It was when the Hellenistic Jews were grumbling because their widows were being left out of the daily distribution of the bread. And Peter says, seek out from among you, just some people to serve the tables. Yeah, seek out from among you, he says, seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that they can appoint to serve these guys. Listen, what a premium God puts on service. Do you understand that? What a premium. God, not on, you know, leadership is great and conquering kingdoms is wonderful, but what a premium God puts on our simple service. How easy this is to forget. And so he says, don't forget it. He writes to these guys and said, don't forget it. It's so easy to forget. How often do we simply define worship in its vertical sense? You with me? How often do we simply define, think of worship in its vertical sense, and then totally forget about the horizontal aspect of worship that, believe you me, God reveals to us all over His Word. Let me give you just one place here. Just listen to what God says to Israel, what He said to Israel 2,500 years ago. In Isaiah 58, verse 6, he says this. He says, is it a fast that I have chosen, says the Lord? Is that what I'm asking you to do? Fast for me? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is that what I'm asking you? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? Because a lot of them would. Yeah, that's, you know, wow. Just me going away to a quiet place, you know, and just kind of meditating for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But God says, is that really the priority? Is that an acceptable day of the Lord, he says here? Is this not the fast that I've chosen for you? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is that not what I'm looking for? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor? Who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then, the Lord says, you will see your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. Whoa, that's good, isn't it? That's God looking at these people who are kind of running through these rituals. Only the vertical aspect. See, it doesn't matter how I treat other people. And we can get caught in that. See, but I'm a worshiper. Whoa, I go to church. I say my prayers. I even fast sometimes. And the Lord's dealing with that ritualistic kind of living here. Thinking that, yeah, that's what God wants me to do with my life. Man, we are missing completely one whole aspect of worship, which is our relationship with other people, horizontally, how we live for God in worship, worshiping Him. I am worshiping Him with how I treat you. You understand? It's just such a little thing. You just think it's such a little, well, this, you know, I got to get out there, man. I got to do big things. I've got, you know, important people to meet. Serving cups of tea. Wow, this is really good. You know what? The Lord says here, well, the writer of Hebrews says it's not just for our buddies, is it? Because you say, yeah, you know, I'll take you for a cup of coffee. Right? We'll have a good time. We'll have a chat. I enjoy your company. He says it's not just for that. That's great. Don't stop doing that. Right? Don't stop doing that. But it's not just for that. It's not just for your buddies, he says. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. To strangers. Remember Philadelphia from last week? Remember that? Right? City of brotherly love. Okay? Well, it's the same root word here, philos. It's the same root to the word here. So literally the writer is saying love strangers. Literally saying love strangers. Last week it was brothers and sisters. This week it's strangers. Next time it's going to be believers in prison. So I want to be asking, how are our love resources? Because the Lord's calling on them here, all right? How are your love resources for other people? How are your thoughts for other people? How much time are you seeking to make for others? See, because we all have got our kingdoms that we want to build, don't we? Got our stuff that we want to do. How much time are we making for other people? This is really significant, God says. How are our love resources in Christ? I'm not just saying to push yourself for this, but in Christ. Because the race of faith demands them, the writer says here. Loving strangers. Loving strangers. And probably a lot of us are sitting here thinking, you know, you hear that, right? You hear loving strangers. I would imagine there's a fair number of us here this morning and we're sitting here and just thinking, listen, I'm just trying to love my family. Right? I'm just trying to love my family. Never mind strangers. Right? Or maybe some of us are sitting there thinking, actually, in fact, it's easier to love strangers. Right? Come on, be honest. It's easier to love strangers. I don't know what you're thinking this morning, but this is what he says. This is what he says. It's interesting, isn't it? It's always in the scripture. It's always the orphans, the widows, the poor, and the strangers in the Bible. You ever notice that? Kind of a select group that God has a very special place for in his heart. Search it out. Look it out in the Bible. It's there. It's there. Orphans, widows, poor and strangers. People that the world tends to find it very easy to forget. People that the world tends to find it very easy to forget. And yet I think God is telling us, guys, this is what church is supposed to look like. Isn't it? This is what church is supposed to look like. Jesus says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me." And when you do this, Jesus says, when you do this for other people, watch it now, right? When you do this for other people, you're doing it for me. That's worship. Do you get it? You see it? But we just lose sight. We just think, oh, we'll sing our songs. We'll pray our prayers. It's worship. You want to do something for me? Here you go. I'm giving you some really practical stuff, God says. Some really, really practical stuff. Well, that's the first bit of the verse, right? And maybe the most important bit. It seemed like just the bit that wasn't really all that earth-shattering, but I think the most important bit. We tend to run to the next bit. Hey, let's find the angels, you know? That's the first bit of the verse. Maybe the most important. Certainly not the most striking, I agree with you, all right? I don't think it's the most striking part of the verse. So just to finish, here's the striking bit. The first part of the verse says, don't forget hospitality. The second part of the verse, I think, says, don't underestimate hospitality. Okay? Don't underestimate hospitality. For by so doing, the writer says, by just being someone other focused and doing little things for people to be hospitable to them. For in so doing, he says, some people have actually entertained angels without knowing it. Now listen, that is a staggering thought, isn't it? Whoa, that is one of those passages in the Bible that's like, whoa, what a thought that is. That by so doing, some people have actually entertained angels without knowing it. It's absolutely incredible, really. You know, I mean, we're going to have some folks around for lunch today. I don't know. I'm going to be looking really careful at you guys when you come. We had to have folks around for lunch today if I was going to preach this message, right? I mean, couldn't preach this message and not have people around for lunch today. Quite a thought. Now, the author's probably, most likely, he's thinking about situations like Abraham and Lot and Gideon and Manoah, who did entertain angels. These guys actually entertained angels, and we know that that was part of their experience. And yet I don't think he's telling us here, okay, don't get this wrong. I do not think the writer here is telling us that we need to go, when we are entertaining somebody, we need to go poking and prodding when they come over for tea to see if they have wings, or you know what I mean? We want to just kind of really scrutinize them. I don't think that's what he's telling us here. Because the focus, watch this now, the focus here is not on the angels. Is it? What's the focus on? Focus is on hospitality. It's not on the angels. It just says that, hey, you just never know. You don't underestimate this. Because you just never know. He's reminding us that by showing hospitality, some people had actually entertained angels unaware. What a massive premium then God puts on hospitality. We don't. We tend to think it's an optional add-on. It's a bit of a bother. I don't really have time to do it because I got big things that I'm trying to accomplish here. What a premium he puts just on something as simple as hospitality. Do you think maybe God uses hospitality to accomplish great purposes for Christ? I wonder. Just hospitality. Just hospitality. Never underestimate it. What a thought it is that something as simple and uncomplicated and accessible, really, for all of us, as hospitality could be such an incredible, powerful expression of our worship and faith. Isn't that amazing? I just found this really striking as I went through it this week. I thought, this is really something. I do not think of it this way. I need to be reminded by God to change the way that I think about these things. And that's what the Word of God does for us, really. This is amazing, really. Because even I can do this. Right? It's accessible. I look at this. Even I can do this, as long as it doesn't involve cooking. But I can do it. I can do it. Even I can pay attention to somebody here on a Sunday morning who's new. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I can make somebody feel welcome. I can take time to get to know somebody that I've never met before. I can have a coffee with a stranger. I can do that. And if having a coffee with a stranger is just a bit too much for you, then you can at least make sure that they get a coffee. You know, if you're one of those people, you just think, whoa, I don't know, I get in that kind of, you know, just be one-on-one with somebody. I'm not good in that kind of thing. Well, try. Try. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Try. In the love of God. Try. Try. Something. Make an effort. What a premium. What an importance. What a value God puts on something that to so many seems so trivial. God does this, folks. God and wakes us up sometimes with his word, with just a simple passage like this. Listen, don't be somebody like Spurgeon says, right? Don't be somebody, he says, who will never entertain angels unawares, because you never entertain anybody. Right? Don't do that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Now, let me wrap up. Time to wrap up. Let me wrap this up with this thought, okay? I just want to wrap up with this thought. Okay, the writer of Hebrews tells us here that a key characteristic of the expression of my faith and trust in Christ is thinking seriously about other people. Right? Whatever context you feel this is fitting into, I think that's what he's saying. A key characteristic of the expression of my faith and trust in Christ is thinking seriously about other people. And I think the reason he says this is a characteristic of our faith and our worship is because this is exactly the heart of God as it's revealed in the Bible, isn't it? Thinking of us, isn't it? Thinking of other people. Isn't it interesting that John 3:16 doesn't read, "For God so loved himself"? I just found it interesting. John 3:16 doesn't say God so loved himself. Now listen, it could read that. Don't get me wrong here. It could read that, and it would be perfectly true if it said that, for God so loved himself. In fact, for God to be God and not love God, who is love, is madness. Of course God loves God, right? Of course God loves God. It's a plurality of personhood in the Godhead, and it is called, and he is defined as God is what? Love. Of course God loves God. That'd be madness for him not to love God. If you're God, then you can love yourself. Like that, ultimately. If you're not, be careful. Be careful. Right throughout the entirety of the plurality of God's godness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God loves God. Bible tells us that. Shouldn't surprise us in the least if John 3:16 said, "For God so loved himself." Wouldn't surprise us in the least. You could just kind of go past that verse and say, well, yeah, sure. What shocks the daylights out of me is that John 3:16 says that God loves me. That shocks me. Right? That shocks me. Because I know me. I know me. And Jeff is saying amen because he knows me. That shocks me. Not that God loves God. Of course he does. God loves me. Whoa, wait a minute. Now that's big. That is big. Wow, that is shocking. That's powerful. I'm feeling it right now just as I'm thinking about it. That is powerful. Especially when Romans 5:8 tells me that while I was still a sinner, it was that God loved me. That blows my mind. But that's what he says. That's why the gospel is the gospel, and it's such good news. And you know what? He wants me to believe that he loves me. He wants me to believe that. He wants me to receive that he loves me, particularly in the expression of that love in Christ. Put the focus of my faith there. He wants me to believe it. He wants me to receive it, and he wants me to share it. Doesn't he? So if you're here this morning and you don't believe that God loves you, boy, you need to. You need to believe that. You need to receive that. And you need to share that. Beloved, 1 John 4:11. Remember this from last week. Beloved, 1 John 4:11. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So I would just say, let's get that hospitality rolling, right? And for those of you who haven't invited anybody over for lunch today, okay, you can't all come to our house. But for those of you who haven't, well, you know, there's always next week, isn't there? There's always next week. Well, let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. It is very, very precious to us. It really is. We thought about it this morning. Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We dig into even little bits of it and unearth stuff that probably we never even thought was coming. And then it hits us like a freight train. So thank you, Lord, for your love for us in Christ. That when we really stop to think about it is overwhelming. It's shocking, really, in some sense, when we stop to think about it carefully enough. We don't take the time to do that. But we thank you for it this morning. And we desire, as an outworking of the manifestation of that love and change that it's wrought in us through Christ, to want to live in obedience to your word and to go and do the things that you exhort us to do, as we've seen this morning. Help us, Lord, to do that, to be that kind of church, to be those kind of people in the time that we have in this world, for the glory of your great name. Amen.